Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future. So cool, right? All of those amazing new innovations that are going to make life even better? Like, okay, wouldn't it be great if your car could change color to match your mood? Oh, wait, no, to match your outfit. Ooh, I think I would like that. Buick is thinking about the future every day. A future built around you with super smart Buick EVs that can make your life even better. And soothing, spa-like interiors that can leave you feeling relaxed and refreshed. Wait, is that eucalyptus? Oh, believe me, the future smells incredible. And it's all out there waiting. So let's go to the future together. Want to go? Join us at buick.com/future.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And you're listening to
Agony Rants.
I never get to say Agony Rants these days. You do that all the time.
You got your name first.
I know, I did this week.
This week. Things are going to change. I have to say, Niamh. Your brownies.
Yeah.
Were unbelievable.
Oh, were they?
I'm impressed for a number of reasons,
okay,
right?
Okay.
One, perfect brownie. I mean, we'll come back to it, but perfect brownie.
Right, okay.
But I'm also impressed that I heard about the brownies on social media.
I know, I was so forward thinking.
Just
it's so
like,
not me.
Niamh,
I'm really...
This is a whole new you.
Can we talk about how progressive I'm getting on Insta?
You're becoming an Insta queen.
Am I?
Yeah, no. I mean, I swear to God, you're Instagram and your life... You're just out there, just being you. I mean, I'm probably going to mute you. That's how you know you're doing well on Instagram. It's so exciting.
Please don't mute me.
Of course you won't.
Please don't. I'll
get a phone call. Excuse me. Did you see my Instagram story?
I know.
I remember I worked with a woman who every time... She's very close to retirement when I started working there. And email had just become a thing in the office.
Oh.
And when she emailed you, she would ring you.
To tell you that you
Yeah, or she would shout at you from the other side of the department.
I just emailed you.
Garrote!
And did she do that with the eye?
Yeah, just wink. As in
point and wink.
Email there for you.
Just you? Did she do that just to you?
No, she did to absolutely everybody.
And it was she was just doing it to you.
It was really funny once or twice.
Yeah, I'm doing my very best. I know I'm a bit rubbish on social media. To be honest, I keep thinking, who on earth would be interested in my life, like generally speaking?
But who's interested in anyone's life?
I know.
Look, if you haven't followed Niamh Kavanagh, I mean, why are you here?
I know. And actually, I will say for the record, half the time I'm not wearing makeup when I do stuff now.
But that's what people
myself.
Like. You're real.
Well...
We get you a ring light now. You can be one of those people, you know, have like a little little portable ring light on your phone.
No.
You just take it out in the middle a little.
No, honestly, the stress, I have a rash up my neck thinking about that.
It's when you start to turn to Instagram because you're getting annoyed at people. Like when you're calling people out and like, you know.
Really? Is that
you
a
know,
thing?
Like, yeah, people like giving out yards, you know. They're going live from the supermarket car park because somebody cut them off.
Maybe that would be more fun. Maybe that was it. I don't know.
I can't wait to see where this goes.
I know.
It's very exciting.
I know. Nice. I even managed to put in little, you know, like text boxes for you to put in your little stories on it. And turns out nobody did it. The only message I got was test.
Look, Niamh, it's not about the results. It's about the journey. I'm actually doing the opposite, right? I've decided I need to like scale back.
Oh, disengage.
Yeah. But what I need to disengage is the shopping apps on my phone.
Oh.
Niamh.
How many shopping apps have you got?
It's out of control.
Oh, really?
It's out of control.
What are you getting online?
Literally everything I see. I think it's because also I haven't earned money for 2 years.
And suddenly you're earning it
Then
again.
I've just been like, yeah, click, click, click.
Oh, my my God.
Every day, the postman brings prizes.
Wow, does he? You know, it's like...
Do you know what
it's like
it
a game show.
The experience of online shopping now is so quick.
I know, yeah, it is.
Even the buy now thing on Amazon, you literally can forget you've ordered something. And I never go in to check my orders. And especially on Wish.com, right? I mean, I love Wish.com, but it takes... You know,
months.
You order something now and you'll have it in 2024.
Months.
Like, so all of a sudden I'm getting these things that in the middle of the pandemic that I've forgotten I needed. Do you know what I got, Niamh? And it's game changing. It's absolutely game changing. I got this contraption that you put your tube of toothpaste in and then you twist it.
No.
And just the perfect blob of toothpaste comes
out. I think we talked about this before.
Did we? Still worth talking about again.
I know.
It is life-changing.
Wow.
Absolutely life-changing. What else have I got?
I really love that toothpaste.
I've just bought a cooling mat for my cat.
A cooling mat?
It's like a mat that you put, it stays cool. Yeah.
Well.
I'm going to win her
actually,
back.
My friend bought a lick mat for her dog.
A lick mat?
Yeah. It's basically, it looks like, you know, those chocolate molds. You know the way you get a chocolate mold?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you can put in chocolate, melt chocolate across it and then put things in it. But basically it's little tiny compartments and you put a variety of things that dogs like to have and then you stick it in the freezer. So when you leave your pet unattended, apparently you leave this lick mat, right, with them so that they can spend hours enjoying licking the popsicles of loveliness. Now, I have to say the girl that bought this, right, her dog is like very food driven and she left me with the dog. One time she had made the lick mat for her dog. That dog basically ate the entire contents of that in 5 minutes.
I definitely think that if you can find the thing that keeps your pet occupied, you've struck gold.
No, definitely.
Like I recently got this thing with three balls in it that it's like a tube.
Oh.
And Boots will play with it for...
Like a tube with three balls in it?
Like three balls and like it's like a helter-skelter thing that the balls just zip around in.
Do they stay in the thing?
Well, I think the idea is that the cat plays them but tries to get them out. Now, eventually they do get them out.
Okay.
But Boots will play with that for literally half an hour straight and then go sleep.
Really?
Every toy we've put in front of that cat, she just looks at us with this kind of...
disdain.
Human beings are absolutely thick.
They have no
concept.
And just
walks away. Like if you roll a ball at Boots...
Yeah.
You really think about ever rolling the ball again.
No. Boots has a lot of She's attitude. She's got it. And the topic today was all about weird jobs.
Yes.
Now, did you have any weird jobs?
Yeah, I did. My job title on the first job that I ever had was flasher. That's what it was. And it was, flashing it was... I can only assume they don't use human beings for this anymore.
Now, I'm desperately in my head trying to find rational explanations. I mean, flashing. I know there's flashing on the side of a chimney, only because I had a chimney person up recently.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay, but clearly not that.
No, it is.
Like it's not Victorian times. It didn't send you up a chimney.
Well, this was quite Victorian by comparison.
Right.
It was, it's when you put a sticker on a packet of biscuits. You know, like special offer.
You did that.
I did that in a warehouse.
Wow.
And they would just bring in pallets of biscuits and I would just go, stick, stick, stick.
Stop.
Yeah. And you got, I think it was, I can't remember, it was per box.
Did you think about where you put the sticker on?
There was a specific place.
Oh.
You were told where you had to put the sticker.
Oh.
And then sometimes there'd be a demonstration. Like they go, this is the way you do it and the sticker has to be facing this way. And
wow.
Yeah. But it was all done. You'd literally to peel it off the sticker, the roll of stickers. And I remember.
I'm nearly sure now they have robots to do that.
Yeah, I honestly think they'd robots then to do that.
What kind of biscuits were these?
They were all Jacobs.
Jacobs, oh.
All
wow.
Jacobs. And I remember.
Quality then.
We had. I used to do Mikados.
Oh.
Or as we called them, smiling fannies, which is absolutely foul.
Did you just say that to me? Oh my God.
Sorry, yeah. But you'll never eat a Mikado again.
Never.
Also,
I'm not big into desiccated coconut, so maybe not.
I'm going to be honest, I was never a fan of. The ones that I did used to like rob were the chocolate Kimberleys.
Oh, wait, but Kimberleys.
Love
I like Kimberleys.
Kimberley.
And actually, the chocolate ones are pretty fab.
They were fab. And we used to also, do you remember the Club Milks?
Oh, yeah.
But the do you remember they had like the flavor? There was a mint Club Milk and there was an orange Club Milk. And there was.
I know lots of people love them, but.
The variety pack. Yeah, I used to love them. But they were better money because they were heavier. Because you got paid by what you did. Yeah. You didn't, there was no wage for this. It was like, I think it was like 20 cent a box.
How old were you when you did this?
I think I was like 15.
So it was like child labor?
Yeah. I mean,
I thought that was done by, like, you know, we always think of child labor being, you know, over in China, but clearly.
Oh, no. Always the market for a hair. Yeah. Thriving market for a hair, Niamh.
Yeah. Speaking as a mother of boys, actually, I'm raging. I didn't know about that sooner.
It definitely kept us occupied. And I got my friends, Kevin and John, I got them jobs in the warehouse as well.
And did they speak to you after putting them into that child labor?
Yeah, I remember, like, my friend John, he didn't do so well. Like, John is, like, John has a higher expectation out of life than putting stickers on biscuits. Like, you would never look at John and say, now there's a man that I bet could rough it in a warehouse.
Okay. He was never meant to be in a warehouse.
I remember his first couple of weeks working there. Because it was piecework, and I was quite quick at it because I used to do it on Saturday.
Sure.
But he used to, like, he wouldn't make back, like, his bus fare and lunches.
Oh, God.
Like, so he was in the red for a couple of weeks.
That is soul destroying. I'm not going to lie.
Surprisingly, it didn't make him speed up. I mean, he was still really, really slow. It was because I said that to him at the time. I was like, John, you're taking the time to resent putting the sticker on the biscuit while you're putting the sticker on the biscuit. If you didn't resent it, you'd be quicker. So that was my journey as a flasher. But I also, we used to do banding there.
Banding?
Banding, which is when, do you remember, you would like take two packets of biscuits and then you would, like, there would be tape on it. They would be wrapped together. You don't really see it so much anymore.
No, you do not, surely.
But they...
Flashing. So you were a flasher and a bander.
A flasher and a bander.
A bander.
Yeah. Banding, I think, was more money. I think it was like maybe 2 cent a box extra or something. Do you know what I have? From banding, you were constantly putting your fingertips on adhesive. So I've got pretty decent fingertips for playing the guitar.
Oh, yeah. Calluses.
They're like asbestos.
I know. My son worked in a plastic factory recently for a summer. Best thing ever. I'd never seen a boy so determined to get out of that kind of job.
What was he doing?
He was basically, you know, putting sheets of plastic, and sometimes it was like pulling them off things, and his hands were in ribbons by the end of it. And, you know, he putting hands in hot water all day because he had to put something into it. You know, they're just repetitive jobs. And I mean, to be honest, he did tell me what it was, but I did glaze over
that's
a little
the
bit.
Thing.
I kind of forgot.
If you don't know, like, I kind of liked the biscuit place, to be honest.
Of course you
did. It was kind of, because it was good crack. And he also got to listen to the radio all day. But also, you kind of knew, like, biscuits. I think if you're in a factory where you're just bits of, or you're making hinges, or you're, and you don't exactly know what this bit's going to, I think that's a bit soul destroying.
So much better to put stickers on biscuits. Or banding.
You see, Niamh, that's the sort of person I am. I can see the positive side.
See, actually, weirdly, I can find the joy in any job. In any job, I can. I can find the joy in it, even if they're repetitive. I will find a way.
A repetitive job, there's an awful lot to be said for it.
It's wonderful. If you love that, like, everything lined up and everything, I quite like a methodical job.
Well, I definitely like, now, if you were to look at my flashing, it wasn't top drawer. It wasn't top drawer, Niamh. Sometimes I put the sticker on crooked and it all went through.
Oh my God.
Like, I never would have passed an inspection.
You're flashing. One of the jobs I did when I was young was I worked for moving. We moved all the people into the International Centre. We had to move like 800 people over one weekend. And it was a big deal from the bank into this new flagship building. I stood in that building when it was a shell. All of this was very exciting. So I was the administrator of that, which sounds very high end. But actually what that meant was I went around getting information off people. So I had to crawl under their desks, you know, in under the desk while somebody's working on it to get serial numbers off their computers, God. And then the cables and all that sort of stuff. And we had to do it, right? It had to be done and very meticulous, because when somebody left that desk on Friday, everything had to be there and working on the Monday morning.
Oh, God.
Right? Because it's all financial based, which is very serious. So as a young 20-year-old girl in her lovely, you know, fashion of the time, in like light summer dresses in under people's desks, you know, crawling in under while they're working.
That's a bit grim.
Yeah, some of them, I think they stayed at the desk longer than they really needed to and possibly shoved in a bit closer. Not going to lie. Very small bit weird, you know. Excuse me while I just crawl around all, you know, under your desk.
Naive.
Yeah. It's a bit, and hashtag me too, isn't it? Really?
It's a bit, it's a bit.
Small bit.
You wouldn't be doing that now.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know. Well, not now because I'm like 54 and my knees are not great.
No, if there was a young girl that had to do that now, everyone would be taken out away from their desks.
Oh, yeah. No, there'd be all sorts of, you know, fail safes in. No, I did all that. And then actually the other one I did was I did some house sitting. Have you ever done house sitting?
See, house sitting, that is a brilliant job. I did house that once.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times.
Oh, I did it with two Labradors. Or were they Labradors or Retrievers? It was to mind these two dogs in an apartment.
Oh, okay.
And they ran me ragged.
Well, they would. Labradors,
but they
too.
Were.
It huge
was
fun.
The best. Yeah. But also, I think when you're at an age where you get like... you get a free gaff.
A free gaff. That's exactly what it was.
In somebody's house.
Free gaff. I got a free gaff.
And I remember I ripped all their CDs. I put all their CDs on my MP3
you ripped
player.
Them? I was going to say.
Yeah. What? And my laptop with me, and I'd like double the music collection.
Like, were you tempted like to look in drawers and
to stuff? Do a route?
Yeah.
No. Did I do? No. Not really. I mean, I did. No, like the CDs and the DVDs, like, yeah. I definitely have a look through.
Sure.
I didn't do much of a route. I mean, I don't know why I did. I mean, if it was now, Niamh.
Oh, we'd be in it, like, in it to win it.
I'd be looking for a will. Like,
codicil.
Oh my God, yeah. Like,
spend the whole weekend trying to figure out.
Yeah, now I'd be hitting the bathroom cabinet and see what's going on for them medically. It's not a lot
see
to be
if you
learned.
Get any cheap
lot to be
cheap
learned
damage.
Yeah,
I know, it's such a funny job, but it's a great job, you know.
It's a brilliant
if you're young
job.
If you're young, go and mind something.
What did you do?
Well, I rocked up and I just loved the whole concept of being in this house, but I kind of knew the people I was sitting for, which is
okay.
Kind of funny, and so I was kind of a little bit nervous of, you know, going into a wrong cabinet and discovering something about these people and still having to look at them.
All right, again,
you know, there was an element to that, so I didn't
bondage
I didn't
gear
do
or
two
or something.
Yeah, I mean, because when we moved into our house in Willow Park, right, the people before us didn't quite clear out certain sections of their house.
Why do people do that?
And we found very strange things.
Really?
Yeah, we did. We're very like, wow, I didn't expect that. I may not go into that, you know.
I've seen that happen a couple of times, and actually I can think of somebody that moved out that I was helping move house.
Yeah.
And I think I was the last person in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was, actually. And they'd left a few... Accoutrement. But like, why would you do that?
I mean, to be fair, if I was knocked down tomorrow, I'd be afeard. There'd be a couple of drawers I wouldn't want anybody going into. I'm not going to lie. Unattended.
We all have those drawers. Though.
I know. We but the problem is, you know, I never think about that sudden lack of control of being able to clear that out. But it's like I'm playing chicken with that, like a little bit. Have I gone up in your estimation in any way?
Absolutely, yeah. Through the roof. Niamh. No, but like, whatever about whatever about a fatality, Niamh. I think if you're walking around your own bedroom with a box and you're like, oh, me sex manuals, nah, sure, I'll leave them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what goes through people's heads.
Yeah,
when
no,
they do
I know.
That.
I mean,
is it like they're afraid of in the new place? They don't know who'll be helping them unpack. It's like, how hard is it to put a little sticker on the box?
Yeah, do not open.
Yeah, or a little, like, where's my sticker with the little blue label?
You know, well...
I'll look after that one myself.
Yeah, okay.
Or you know what, I'll put it in my car.
But what if the sticker fell off?
I know. Look, just tell people it's for whipping cream.
Do you want me to put... No. Listen, you know, I definitely... After a while, I kind of felt like I was living in their house.
I know,
but
it's lovely,
like in my own space. And I really wanted my own house after it. But I mean, it was a while before I got them.
I was actually living in
a
house
job.
Share at the time. And oh God, it was fab.
Isn't
lovely
it?
Apartment, yeah.
But it is weird to live in someone else's house, though.
Yeah, it's weird briefly and then it's lovely.
Yeah, you can understand why people want to like live in, you know, people's loft spaces and live vicariously through their
lives. I mean, like one of my favourite jobs would be like...
Did I just say that? You didn't actually hear what I said.
I did, yeah. I think it's because you live up the north. It's very the fall.
I watch those movies where people live in, you know, looking vicariously in people's lives. We all do that through reality TV now. Is it a crime?
I mean, it is, but should it be, is what we're asking. So we asked you what your weird jobs were. Mm-hmm. And by God, do some of you have them? Darcy said...
What did Darcy say?
She said, I sold china cups from the boot of my car.
What? Were they your china cups?
I mean, it's not... I don't think it's the selling of the cups. I think it's the supplying of the cups.
It's either a car boot sale, which is not a real job, or fencing, which is a real job. You know, some people have a real job, but it is illegal.
Yeah. I love a car boot sale.
Do you?
Yeah. I love a car boot
sale. I don't think I've ever been at one.
Really?
No, I'd be a bit afraid if I went to a car boot sale. I'd spend more time lifting more stuff to put in my car boot than selling what I have.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be, yeah, I don't know if I'd be good at the selling bit.
No?
I think that.
Why not?
Well, I think that what would happen is I would get all of the stuff that I was going to get rid of.
Right, okay. Right?
And what I'm good at, I can put it in a bag and go, charity shop,
yes,
gone.
No problem.
So once it goes in the bag, I never look at it again.
But if it was out on a table.
But if it was out on a table, you're just looking at all the things. I'm like, actually, no, sorry.
And is it because somebody else wants it, then you suddenly go,
totally.
I wanted it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because with donating stuff to a charity shop, you never get to see the buyer.
Yeah, but in fairness, that's not what she's talking about. She's saying that this is her job.
No, I'd say Darcy robbed houses.
Yeah.
Like,
Darcy, I feel we need more information.
She's breaking the windows and back doors to get china cups. Sarah says, a guy I was seeing moderated porn. As in, watched it all day looking out for copyright infringement. Like, a copyright infringement in porn.
Right.
Like, as in...
So many things.
That's a song. That song shouldn't be in that video.
Oh, is that what that
that's
is?
That's what that... Oh, I think that's what it is.
Lovely.
Or maybe it's for, like, professionally made... pornography, it's like, shouldn't be.
I don't know. It's I didn't know it was a job. Is that what he told her his job was? No.
I'm sure.
And also, I love the fact that she uses the past tense.
Neil Delamer, I remember him, somebody sending him a video.
Okay. I'm glad you.
A porn video that he was on in? Television in the background.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Which was the creepiest. Like, he talked about it in his stand-up show. It's one of the things that you're kind of oddly proud of, but you really can't tell too many people.
Well, he clearly told a lot of people.
Well, he did, yeah. It's a very big tour. Very big tour.
Next is Liam says he weeded 2 acres of field between lettuces in 1984 for 4 days for £7 a day for 12 hours.
The job of like fruit picking...
It's tough working in a dirty field all day.
It sounds like something you get sentenced to.
Yeah. Do you want to do it for a laugh?
Fruit picking.
Mm.
I know you can do a day of it. Like, you see, that's what, like, I couldn't do the industrial fruit picking, but I could do a, like, a leisurely morning where we get a punnet and then make an apple tart. Like,
yeah.
You know, pick 4 apples. Make an apple tart. Lovely day.
You're definitely not going to make your fortune doing that now.
No.
No, I don't think so.
I definitely think the pace of which you do it, again, like the flashing.
Like the flashing.
The pace of which you do it is very important.
Yeah, it's very indicative
to
how it works.
And my friend John,
yeah,
he was willing to just be quiet and meditative and be in financial ruins.
He was just there for the experience.
Yeah.
So, hi, Niamh. Hope all is good with you. Not sure if this counts as a weird job, but I used to work at the crematorium. Sometimes I'd get to push the coffin into the crematorium.
what a dream. It's a dream job.
I don't know how you pronounce that, but then check it midway through to see how it was doing.
Do you stick something in, like if you're making bread?
Then when it all was cooled down, I'd rake up the remnants and grind it down into ashes and box them. Worst thing to happen to me was one day when during the service I was tasked with pushing the button to lower the coffin. We were supposed to push it when the minister used the word commit, as in we now commit this body, etc., etc. And I got a bit trigger happy and pushed it early when he said I would commend something or other. The congregation had their heads bowed, and when they looked up, the coffin had disappeared. I was confined to the basement duty after that, Noelle. Oh,
Noelle.
I love
There's
it.
There's nothing more nerve-wracking than being tasked with pushing a button at a specific time. That is...
It's like tipping point.
Is very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Like, we had this thing recently in the show where... when we were in Vicker Street, that there was not fireworks, there was like a
flash
ticker tape sort of at the end of the show. And
to celebrate the end of the show.
I came in and they were like, oh, there's the button to fire the cannons.
Did you want to do it all the time?
But like, and it was like the button had like glow tape all around it. When it was like, do not push. And like the temptation of all the time. I don't know how many times I nearly pushed that button. Like just by putting a glass down beside it or...
Never become the president of the United States.
I know, the last thing I need.
Did you know that people put stuff in coffins all the time?
See, I would want...
What would you want in the coffin, would you?
I'd want a mobile phone.
Yeah, but the problem is you can't be leaving that in there if it's going into the crematorium.
Because it explodes?
Yeah.
But I mean, realistically, like when they say this, it explodes. Like... How big an explosion? If it's an oven that can burn a person, like a phone battery explosion, I mean,
this temperature they have to go at, apparently, if you leave a pacemaker in, so if somebody has a pacemaker, they have to take that out before they actually burn them, right? And the thing is, if that goes off, it proper explodes. Why do you want a mobile phone when you're dead?
Well, if I was being buried, I kind of want one.
Yeah, because?
You know, like if you just woke up. I mean, I know it wouldn't happen, but like, I think we provide for a lot of things in our lives where we know it's never going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, we buy voice-activated things.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like Siri. They don't work. No. We all have Irish accents.
I know.
They have absolutely no idea what we're talking about.
Like, do you?
We do a lot of... Like, I don't see what the harm is if in your last will and testament it's like... Please, it doesn't have to be a good phone. It doesn't have to be the latest iPhone.
Right.
But even my phone or even just a, you know, an old Nokia. Just throw it in just in case. I know people don't wake up, but just in case.
Wow.
I'm allowed to have a little insecurity.
Yeah, that's...
I'm not perfect, Niamh.
Okay, so go ahead. Who's next?
The other person on the same thing, along the same lines, Joanne got in touch and she said, so I've never told anyone this, but the weirdest day of my life, not necessarily a weird job, was picking up my dad's ashes from the crematorium.
It's kind of a job, isn't it? It's kind of a job you have to do. It's a like job, a to-do list. Yeah, it's on a to-do list.
Yeah,
that
God
is
love
hard.
You. Okay, so genuinely, no one tells you what that after the super sad ceremony and the curtain and the music and the curtains, well, you get a call like 4 to 6 weeks later saying your dad's ready for collection. Like, thank fuck it's not a text. So I get the call. Yeah. And we were all set for the ceremony of the sprinkling. I don't think it's called the sprinkling, but anyway. I think it's the scattering, isn't it? Anyway.
Well, it depends on how you do it, I suppose.
Sprinkle implies it's
water,
like
liquid.
Caster sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Scattering is a bit more weighty.
Yeah.
I think. But anyway.
Okay.
But ashes and sprinkling is not what happens. More like a blast in the face of ashes. Sorry, I hit me mic there. More like a blast in the face of ashes once thrown in the air, and then there's the bucket load of ashes left.
I know, it's true. It's actually, there's more than you think.
But surely, like, do them all.
Yeah, but the problem is when they don't think about wind direction. You have to think about wind direction when you're doing the ash thing.
You make a brilliant point.
I know.
So she says, So I guess the weirdest job is ash picker-upper person in the crematorium.
I don't think you're supposed to sprinkle them, if that's the word, you know, in the crematorium itself. Or is she talking about when it's done?
I guess she probably got them and then she threw them somewhere.
Yeah, but I know what she's talking about is, I suppose, when they sweep it up at the end, you know, when they've been burnt.
Oh, Niamh, that's so bleak.
What is it, though?
I mean, I know somebody has to do it.
No, but I don't agree. I don't think it's bleak. I think it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. You know, you're doing something that's important to someone.
I mean, this isn't
exactly
the point you're making. No. But what I will say is, why sweep when you can hoover?
Well, we don't know how they do it. Do you need to make a phone call? We could ring up. Actually, we should take a tour.
they offered that. What needs talking about is, is we had a disagreement.
Yes.
And I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Because I'm the sort of person, I can hold up my hands, I'll say I was wrong.
Okay.
I thought in Ireland, just because I thought that we would have, this is something that could happen.
Okay.
Is that when people are cremated, they just do a load of you together and then you share the ashes.
Especially in this day and age when fossil fuel is hard to come across.
Yeah, I just thought, for, you know, ecological reasons, for, you know,
it's just so
financial
wrong.
Reasons, whatever.
And I was horrified.
I just assumed that that was the way it worked.
I was totally horrified.
And I rang an undertaker to ask. He really was equally horrified. Now, I think it was a fair question. And he was so horrified, he asked if we wanted to do a tour of a crematorium.
And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen.
And he was into it.
He would be talking. I would be into it. I like to find out things, you know. You never know. It might be good. I could get a discount rate. I'm at the age I might be thinking about it.
Just put out feelers. Now you're on Instagram, you could do a collab.
Is it my age when you're going to get to that point where you think, do you know, maybe like you are looking at those ads saying, you know, you can pay for your funeral up front to save your family. There's an age. When does that come in?
I will never do that.
No?
I don't care who pays for my funeral. But it's not going to be me.
It's very irresponsible. Very irresponsible.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The people that know me and the people that love me, it's not free. Ah! The cost is, you've got to bury this.
No.
Well, I just think it's the least people can do. I guess burnt, scattered.
Yeah.
Throw me in Kylie Minogue's face.
I think Kylie would like that.
Yeah, throw me in her face as she's getting into a car.
I wonder how often that happens.
I'd say it's regularly.
Do you think it happens often?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean,
we've gone down a road I never thought we'd go down.
Weird jobs.
Yeah,
weird show.
Yeah, I know. This is a weird show. I quite like it though.
We are stopping for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show and us, you can do so by becoming a member of Headstuff Plus for as little as €5 a month. And with your €5 a month, we get to pay for diesel, Neve's parking and brownies.
And food. General food.
Just the general stuff that keeps the show going.
Yeah.
And we would love you to support us. And we thank everybody that has signed up already. And we hope you're enjoying the bonus content from us and from all of the other shows on the Headstuff Podcast Network. And the show that we are promoting this week.
Because technically we're the ones that everybody else is promoting.
Everyone else is promoting Agony Rants.
So we're going to present.
So we are promoting Fascinated.
Yay!
Which is another show on the Headstuff Podcast Network. It's a show where I track down and chat to people I was a big fan of when I was a teenager.
Oh, bless.
Bless.
I was one of them.
Yeah, Neve was one of them.
It's a great show. Here's a clip.
I'm Gerard Farrelly and I'm the host of Fascinated. Have you ever wondered about the pop bands you liked as a teenager? What went on behind the scenes?
We had played this like grand prank.
It sounds terrible, but I'm just so relieved it's over. And then they had this like great idea of getting another girl in who looked like Heavenly.
What did they do afterwards?
And all of a sudden you're like, that's the end of that.
It was all blowing up and it all kind of just unraveled.
And I thought it would last forever and it didn't.
Check out Fascinated with me, Gerard Farrelly, on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Okay, so our problem this week.
Okay.
Our problem this week is from Catherine, right? And she starts, "Dear Neve and Gerard, I love your show. Every Monday, I'm actually in good form getting out of bed because I know I will have a nice trip to work. So thank you for that."
Maybe not today.
That's very nice.
Talking about crematoriums.
Sorry about today, Catherine.
Very hard to keep you happy
today.
Bit
on the bleak side.
Yeah.
A lot of people that write to you ask questions about what they should do about someone else in their life who is making them miserable. But my question is about myself.
Oh.
I am an absolute grump.
Oh.
The past couple of years have been hard. My mum was very ill. I broke up with a boyfriend. It wasn't a long-term thing, but it was something. But it was for the best. I'm always tired and stressed. My job is insane. I'm completely overworked and my manager just has a we're all in this together approach and doesn't see that I'm always working and always stressed. I feel like I'm on call 24/7. My whole life revolves around whether or not my job will need me. When I meet friends, I'm happy and carefree and I have a ball. But when I'm on my own, I turn into a complete grump. I get annoyed at people in shops. And last week, I was furious at a man for stepping in front of me on the bus. It wasn't his fault. He didn't see me coming down the stairs, but I was in a rage with him. I'm this grumpy person and it's not who I am. I'm late 30s and I haven't had a decent holiday in years. I love listening to your stories about boots and I'd love to get a pet, but I haven't got around to it. Also, I think if I was the old lady with a cat, I might feel worse. Well, I know where I'm starting.
There you go.
I feel like I'm giving my whole life away to work and worry and being generally miserable. Please, can you give me a kick in the arse, please?
Okay, Catherine.
Thanks, Catherine.
Might be a lot easier if you were here.
I really feel for Catherine.
No, I do. And actually, to be honest, after the last couple of years, I think a lot of people feel this way.
I think I don't think you're...
unique?
I don't think you're unique at all. No, sorry, that's probably not what you wanted to hear, Catherine.
You just made her feel way better about herself now.
You're just one of many. Just one of many, Catherine.
No, but it's true. This feeling is actually rife everywhere. Everybody's looking for something to lift them out of the space. Because let's be honest, the last couple of years, all we've done is work or work from home. And the lines are very blurred now.
Yeah, they are very blurred. Yeah. And people have been trying to do when they're working from home over the past couple of years, they've been trying to prove that they are actually working.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and what that has led to is people doing extra work.
Yeah.
And it's time to rein that back in now. Enough is enough.
I agree. Actually, to be honest, I always give out about it because people now can email you and you're supposed to answer within 5 seconds. You can't.
Yeah.
There's no I'm actually out on a walk ignoring my work life. You know, there's no separation. It's really difficult to do it. And actually, Catherine, you really need to separate it out. 24/7, there's no job unless your business, it's your business. But even then, there's no job that should be 24/7.
Yeah, completely.
Not even close.
And I think that the first thing you need to do is, like, the two strands to this. Like, the first thing that you have to do is you have to address it in work, right?
Yeah.
And it's not about doing less or anything like that. It's about going to your manager and saying, what you've said there, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I feel like I'm on call 24/7. Tell them you want to rebalance the work-life balance.
You need to get boundaries.
Use their lingo. Yeah. Proper boundaries.
Yeah.
It's great that you noticed this, right? Because one of the things you say there, and I think you're being very hard on yourself, is that you say you're a grump, but you're not actually a grump. You're somebody that is having the expected reaction to being tired and overworked, and you've been through a stressful time.
I think she's probably just cheesed off, feeling cheesed off.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people feel like that. I mean, you know, I certainly feel like that.
Yeah.
You know, I do. I sometimes think, God, I used to be this outrageous person. I mean, I was waiting for to hear that you're in your 50s and menopause was, you know, I tell you, it's irrational what happens there. God help you when you get into the 40s and 50s, like when the menopause strikes, you think you're, you know, cheesed off now. But I'm just going to say, Catherine, there are so many ways you can kind of lift it up. And the thing, I was talking to a friend of mine recently and we were chatting about different things and she was just, everything started at the negative. And the thing is, there's a lot of good that's happening here. In the sense that, you know, we need to kind of more focus on the positive. So I used to joke about it all the time. This girl told me years ago about doing the 2 stars and a wish thing, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
Where you kind of think of 2 good things that are happening and then you think of something that you want to do better. And it's really hard. You know, I find humor gets me out of a lot of things that annoy me.
Okay.
Humor. Hence why I'm friends with Grode. You know, not that he is humorous, but he's funny. He's funny. He makes me laugh. And then the things that annoy you in life, it's okay to vent them. You know, it's okay to do it. And you should vent them.
Completely.
But you should maybe just let them go then. You know, that's a tough thing, isn't it?
And also, this we're all in this together approach that your boss has taken. He needs to shove that up his ass. Because we're all in this together approach. That is an easy way of just expecting people.
So I take it that they're splitting all the proceeds 100% between everybody.
We're not in this together. All our pay packets are out on the table.
Yeah, when the money's out,
equal.
I guarantee
that's when we're all in this together.
We're not all in it together.
No. So like, firstly, meet the boss, absolutely rinse them, right?
There's lots of jobs out there.
Yeah, and the other thing is, in jobs, when you say tired, stressed, overwork, you're triggering a few things there.
Yeah.
And it's no harm to trigger them. And I know, like, people always say, oh, I don't want this company to think that I'm super stressed because then I won't get promoted. Do you really want to be promoted in this company if this is the way they treat you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you're saying you feel like you're on call 24/7 and then your manager's approach is so bad, like, yeah, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Do you really want his job? You probably don't.
Do you know, it's the work balance thing, isn't it? It's the work-life balance. It's really important. You say you haven't had a holiday. Well, that's probably true for a lot of people. They're only getting back into that now. You know, you've broken up with this guy, and then, like, it's a lot of stuff there, isn't it?
There's loads going on.
And yeah.
Even you're saying about the decent holiday. Like, part of me wants to say plan a holiday.
Yeah.
It's worth doing to lift yourself out of it. But the other side of that is, don't plan a holiday if you think that you're going to be under pressure to enjoy a holiday. Because there's nothing worse than you're on a holiday and it's like, oh, I've got to go and see this and I've got to do this. And
oh, good.
Like, very wise, Niamh. Yeah, very wise.
Oh, look at you.
But I just think that maybe that's for a time when you're feeling better.
But you do need a break. Yeah,
she does need a break.
You need a break. Really, more importantly, you need to give yourself a break.
So maybe you've got a few days annual leave. Like, I mean, like, if you're working loads, hopefully, like, if your financial situation's good,
yeah,
there's a couple of things that I was thinking that could kind of help, right? One.
Gosh, Garrod.
Oh, I'm on it.
Come on.
I'm a lifestyle guru today.
Bring it on.
One, if you've got a bit of cash, get a cleaner for a couple of weeks.
Oh.
Because it takes the whole thing of, like, if you're working loads and you're exhausted and you're coming home, have your place clean.
Okay.
Right? Just take that off your plate.
Right.
So you're coming home, you're not stressed.
Okay.
You know, you're not, there's somebody helping you out.
Okay.
Secondly, the whole thing about getting a pet, you said you haven't gotten around to it. I just think get one. Or do animal fostering.
Oh yeah, animal fostering's good.
That's really good because you have a go with an animal and it mightn't work out and you can give it back. And then you're under no commitment. You know that this animal's going back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
If you fall in love, you can keep it.
Yeah.
But I would say just have a little...
Have the experience of owning a pet. Because I think some people don't realise what's involved in owning a pet because it's quite a bit now, to be fair.
Yeah, there is. There's loads of work. But also, what it does put in place is I have a pet. I can't be here till 8 o'clock because I need to feed my cat.
Yeah, love that.
And if you need to feed your cat, you need to go. And it's not reasonable for a company to say to you, you can't have a pet because you work here and we take all your time.
I'm pretty sure their worker's not saying that. But anyway.
No, but it's unreasonable. Like, if you say, I've got to feed my cat, I'm here all day.
Yeah, no absolutely.
Enough's enough. I've done my 7 hours.
But the only thing I would say about getting a cleaner, I love the concept, right? The problem is I had a cleaner for a brief period of time. And... the pressure of that was huge.
The pressure of the cleaner. Were you cleaning for the cleaner?
I kind of cleaned for the cleaner. And not only that, then I became her mate. And then, you know, it was quite difficult then, you know, because, well, I was very lucky. I had a fantastic cleaner. She used to come in and she used to mind me. And then she would leave me little presents of, you know, she felt that my, you know, my bedroom wasn't colourful enough. So she'd bring me a new throw.
Oh, did
and
she?
And cushions.
Nate, this is very... Like, Niamh, you can't be pitied by your cleaner. I had a cleaner who was an absolute wagon.
I came up.
She's series linked EastEnders.
Oh.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Was so she could watch it?
While she was cleaning?
Yeah. And then she'd say she didn't have time to do me kitchen.
Oh, so you hired...
I was like, oh, sorry.
Hired somebody to watch your TV.
There must have been an omnibus, was there?
Yeah, you weren't a bit of a wagon back at her, were you?
Yeah, I know.
No, my cleaner used to mind me. Yeah. And I came home one time and I
that's lovely.
I took a photograph of my bedroom and I sent it to my husband and I said, who lives in a house like this? I said, apparently us. We used to have to hide it all before she came.
Oh, that's lovely.
We used to put it away after she'd been. Well, she died.
Maeve.
She did.
Niamh, we're going to have... I'm sorry now, but I'm putting a process in place. You're going to have to run these stories by me. Catherine is on...
she looks.
Catherine's at the emotional brink.
I know.
And you tell her about a lovely cleaner. And then
she did. She died. But
who's
she
no
was
longer
lovely.
With us.
She was absolutely gorgeous. She minded me, but I did feel pressure to clean up before she came. It's a kind of, but it was lovely when you came home and all the jobs you don't want to do, like washing your floors and cleaning your tiles and the shower, you know, cleaning the shower.
Have you had a cleaner since?
No. No. The only reason I got a cleaner was because I was traveling a lot and Paul was there with the kids. And I felt bad for him.
The agency were just like, you can clean for Niamh Kavanagh. Killed the last one. It absolutely killed her.
I didn't kill her. For the record, I didn't kill her. I know. I miss her. She was wonderful.
Oh.
She minded us all.
Well, don't get attached to your cleaner, Catherine, is probably about. Yeah, okay. But like, I would say put you first. Put your needs first.
No, Catherine, all joking aside, really, what you need to do is get your work-life balance in order. You need to kind of step back a little bit from your work. And it's a very valid thing to do. You need to go meet some new people, go out and enjoy your life. I mean, you say there that you like to see your friends and all that, and you have a nice time when you're out with them. So you need to kind of go more to that side. Go do the things that you like doing a bit more.
Yeah, like I think as well, you're not in a place where you're not enjoying life in general.
No.
You're actually saying that, you know, because you are able to go out and have fun and to let it all go. But what you're saying is that you don't have the time to do that.
Yeah, I think time management is a problem here. And it's not your management, it's the fact that other people are managing you for.
Drawn on you, yeah.
So you're probably more like me than you know, Catherine, because you're probably a people pleaser. I'm forever doing that.
I'll knock it out of her, yes. Yeah, she's abseiled down the hotel for the last time.
But, you know, Catherine, you just need to go and enjoy your life a bit more and actually just say no more.
Say no more. But also, and like maybe if you need help doing that, maybe go get a bit of counselling.
Yeah.
You know, chat to your doctor.
You know, ring us up. We'll come and say no for you. Like,
listen, if you want us to have a conversation with that manager.
Yeah.
I like nothing better now to have a conversation with we're all in this together.
Yeah,
prick.
I know.
That's the sort of one I love to strangle.
Yeah, I know.
No, because that's just not, it's not on.
No, you need support in that, Catherine. And I completely understand that. And actually, you're describing something that a lot of people feel now. They feel angry inside or that they're discontent because they've, you know, the last couple of years haven't been that joyful in some ways. You know, even if we've worked through it as best we can, the thing is we're all getting back to our lives now and people have now accepted that you're just going to be working all the time and it's not what you need to be doing.
Enough is enough.
Yeah.
And you know what to do? Set a little alarm on your phone.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock. Walk Good out. Luck. And if they give out to you because you don't check your email. There was an email at 10 o'clock. Did you not see that? It's like, I was watching television.
I'm
at home.
Yeah, you shouldn't be work related. Yeah, boundaries are very important.
I love a go at that manager.
I know you're right. I can see it in you.
Because the other way, they're the ones, do you know what? They're the ones as well. Like we've discussed them before.
Yeah.
They're the sort of fella that come in and they would be Santy and give out the presents that everyone has bought for each other. He'll give them out.
Yeah.
Because this is his little thing.
I know.
And then like you're working at the weekends and you'll buy two pizzas and think he's, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Yeah, I think work should be part of your life because it fulfills you in some form or other. But actually, it shouldn't be all your life ever. No matter, even if you love your job. Yeah, no,
well
never.
Said,
yeah, enough I know. Enough. But Catherine, let us know how you get on.
Yeah.
We totally. Love a little catch up, see how everybody is.
Yeah, and also, don't be afraid to send us his name. We'll name and shame him.
We can.
We'll contact him on LinkedIn.
I so missed you this week, and you never went back to how wonderful my brownies were. I feel very disappointed. I put a lot of effort into them. You said something about the brownies, but it wasn't enough. I said you'd come back to it and tell me how wonderful they were.
They were incredible.
What was
like,
so?
It was the right amount of goo.
Oh, it was a lot of goo.
Versus the right amount of, you know,
flake.
Of flake.
You know the way you need that kind of, you know, almost like crusty skin
flake,
coming off.
Goo. Kind of like not a crumb, not even a crumb.
No, I don't like dry brownies. I like them to be like nearly can't open your mouth. They're so gooey.
Melt in the mouth. They looked really rich, but they were melting in the mouth.
They were.
I mean, can we have your recipe? Can we?
No.
No. The recipe is a secret.
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, I just got off the internet. I just put in the best ever brownies. But I'm going to say, right, the thing about that is sometimes two people can make the same recipe, but it's that little something.
It's the cooking time for your own oven.
It's that little national treasure touch.
It's the little touch, yeah. It's the sparkle.
Isn't it?
It's the little sparkle.
The sprinkle.
Sprinkle.
Oh my God,
which is a word
that.
I will never use in the same way again. Thank you so much for listening, and we heartily apologise for what we've just done to your morning.
Catherine, I hope this is not the saddest day of your life. Right, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Chat soon. Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Being a parent can be really challenging.
Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today. Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.